Well, we are continuing or really finishing up this series that we started last week, this little two-week series out of the Gospel of Luke chapter 2 as we are wrapping up, no pun intended, wrapping up the Christmas story and the Christmas season. And as far as the narrative goes, as far as the storyline goes, we are just about a month removed from, 40 days to be exact, removed from the birth of Jesus. His parents, Joseph and Mary, have made the short trek from Bethlehem up to Jerusalem. They've brought him to the temple to have him dedicated. And it's while they're there that they encounter two people who have been longing and waiting for this day, Simeon and Anna. And you know, one of the, I was thinking about this, one of the blessings that I had growing up in the church that I grew up in, and I know I'm not the only one who's experienced this blessing. This is not something that's unique with me. My wife had this experience growing up. My kids are kind of having this experience growing up. I know many of you here have had this experience growing up, but one of the blessings, in the church that I grew up in were the just kind of wonderful grandparent-like saints that I had in my life. They were people that you hoped that you could grow up to be like, and some of us are still hoping we would grow up to be like them. But you know, there are saints that just grow sweeter with age. We've got quite a few of them here. They are those in whom their love and their faith in Jesus has made them warmer, and I count that a blessing. And as I was thinking about that, it seems fitting that if I had that experience, and if many of you have had that experience, that Jesus himself would have had that experience of having these grandparent-like figures in his life from a very early age, and we see that with Simeon and Anna. And like Simeon that we talked about last week, Anna was also one of these who had faithfully waited for her hope for this. She had faithfully waited for God to fulfill his promises. And as Paul says in Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman. And Anna, like Simeon, understood who this son was. She understood who this child was that was born and what he meant for Israel and for the world. And she happens to be, we talked about this last week, she happens to be, at least as far as how they're identified in the Christmas story, she happens to be the oldest person in the Christmas story. And her story is told by Luke in his long Christmas narrative of Jesus' birth. Her story is told in just three verses. And so that's what we're going to take a look at today. And her story is told right after Simeon's. We pick it up in Luke chapter 2, right after right after where we left off with Simeon and in verse 35. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 36, and we're just going to read 36, 37, and 38. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Israel, or the redemption of Jerusalem. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, here's a woman. I picture Anna as this. You know, we all have these people in our lives. Every Sunday morning, we look for them. We got to get our hug from whoever it is. This is how I picture Anna in this story. She's a woman who is just beloved by these people who come to the temple. You don't avoid her when you come to the temple. You search her out. And Luke identifies her as a prophet. And I think what he's I don't read that to mean that she's identified as one who predicts the future, but he says that she ministers the word of God. She is there ministering to the people who come to worship. And it's very fitting. She is a minister of grace, which is exactly what her name means, grace. And even in the few verses that were given about her, we're given really even more information than we find out about Simeon. We're given a lot of information on her. We're told her family line. She is of the tribe of Asher, which means her ancestors probably had a pretty rough go. Asher, the tribe of Asher, was one of the tribes that was taken into captivity by the Assyrians. But many of her family had returned, and they had faithfully followed God, and this is probably where she picked up this example. They were faithfully waiting for the coming of the Messiah. And, she was married, probably at a very early age, the age of 14 or 15, maybe even younger, 13, was not unusual for marriages to take place at that age. And Luke tells us that she was married for 7 years until she was widowed. And she lived as a widow until the age of 84 years old. So if you do the math, it's possible this woman has lived as a widow by herself for 63 years. She's had some things happen. She's gone through some stuff in her life. And Luke tells us that she spent all of her time in the temple. But she wasn't just hanging out in the temple, you know, like Simeon. She wasn't just, you know, there by accident. She wasn't just, you know, kind of because she didn't have anything better to do. Luke tells us that she ministered night and day. She fasted. She prayed. She ministered to those who came in to worship in the temple. She is one of these people, like we described Simeon last week. She was a saint by any definition of the word. She was all in. And she exuded this hope and peace and joy and love that we've been talking about for the last month or so, month plus. And she does it all in three verses. So what is it that we can learn from Grandma Anna? We'll just refer to her as Grandma Anna. She, like Simeon, she reminds us what this time, what Christmas time is all about. And the first thing that we can learn from Anna in this story is she reminds us what the purpose of Christmas is all about. She knew as she held this, it doesn't tell us that she held the child, but she knew who this child was that come. She knew that Jesus was the Redeemer that God had promised Israel. Look at verse 38 again, and this is really where we'll focus the rest of our time. We'll focus in on this last verse. It says, at that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. So when she was speaking of the child to people about the redemption of Jerusalem, Jerusalem, do you think she was talking about two separate things? No. She knew that the redemption of Jerusalem was tied to the coming of this child. She may not have worked out what it all meant, but she knew that somehow through this child who came, that this was going to be the one who would bring redemption. Imagine waiting your entire life for the coming of the Messiah. Waiting for the one who would come and redeem Israel. The one who would finally be able to totally and really forgive sin. The one who would usher in the kingdom of God. The one who would bring His presence back to Israel. The Messiah that the prophets had spoken about. Emmanuel, God with us. And then one day He shows up. Imagine that moment. She understood more than most that redemption had come to Israel. And in the first century, that word redemption, when the word redemption was used, it was typically used in terms of the freeing of a slave or the setting free of something or someone that had been captive. And for Anna and the rest of those faithful waiters, the rest of those who had been waiting for the, as Simeon had been, for the consolation of Israel, for them something had been captive that nobody in Israel had been able to set free. And it was more than a piece of land, it was more than a city. Something was lost that had not been able to be recovered. Something was dead that nobody else in Israel up to that point had been able to resurrect. And she understood that this one who would come, this child was the one who would come to reverse all that. That he would come to do what up to that point in the world and in the life of the people of God had not been possible. He came to redeem all that was lost and enslaved. He came to restore what had been broken, and he came to give new life to all that had been dead. Now the question is, what was it that had been lost and broken and dead? Us. That's who was lost and broken and dead. And due to our brokenness and our lostness and our deadness, everything that we touch tends to end up lost, broken, and dead. And when Christ came to the earth, he came to reverse all of that. And when Anna saw him, she recognized that this child was the one who came to redeem, to restore, to resurrect, to bring life to what had been lost. She saw him as the one that she and so many others like her had waited so long for, the one who would free us from sin's penalty, from its power, and one day ultimately would free us from its presence. And she moved with faith and understanding toward this child. And that's what we are called to do. We're called to move with that same faith toward Jesus. And it's interesting, when Jesus came to redeem, you know, in most other cases, redemption came in the form of somebody pulling something out of their pocket, or they would redeem someone or something with something external to themselves. But when Jesus came to redeem, he didn't come with something else. He came to redeem us with his very life. He came to exchange his life for ours. And as we move in faith toward him, that's essentially what we are doing. That's what faith is. It's exchanging our life for Jesus' life. He's not something that we just add on to our lives like you would add ketchup to your fries or something like that. He is our life. He is our redemption. He is our hope. That is the purpose of Christmas. But there's a second thing that we can learn from Anna. We not only learn and are reminded of the purpose of Christmas, we learn the true expectation of Christmas. Anna and those like her, they lived with a certain type of expectation. Look again at verse 38. It says, "At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem." People were expecting something. And it's interesting that in a world that almost completely missed the coming of Jesus, there were people like Anna and Simeon and those like her who understood and completely were able to grasp what that expectation was. You know, back in the first century, there was a lot of indifference and ignorance and kind of misunderstanding about who Jesus was. And really not, I guess, not any different than our day. And we talked about it last week that Isaiah even said, or a couple of weeks ago, that Isaiah even kind of gave the indication that this one who would come, he would be misunderstood. He would confound those who saw him and who encountered him. And so it's not surprising that there were those who missed his return because they were expecting something else. Even the religious elite, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they had certain expectations about who this one who was to come would be, and as a result of their expectations, they missed him. The Pharisees really expected him to be this Messiah who would come in with military might and redeem and rescue Israel from the tyranny of Rome. And as they encountered Jesus and they witnessed what he was doing, they thought, well, he's going to end up doing more damage to the cause than rescuing us. And so that's why they had him arrested and put to death, was he was going to come in and do damage to what they expected the Messiah to do. The Sadducees, since they didn't even believe in resurrection, they had an expectation that really what the Messiah was going to come to do was to give them their best life now. And as a result of that, they missed the Messiah. And then you had the Essenes, who were this kind of mysterious sect who had separated themselves from the world. they expected the Messiah to be that, to be this kind of monk-like figure who would be completely separate, both literally and figuratively, from the evil world. And as a result of all three of these groups, as a result of their expectations and what they wanted the Messiah to be, they missed him. But Anna and Simeon and those like them, their expectations were right on the money. They knew that this one who was to come was going to be the hope of Israel, not just as a nation, but spiritually. And as a result, he would ultimately be the hope for the entire world. That's one of the things that's so encouraging about Anna and those like her, was that in spite of those who were kind of setting the tone religiously for the people of Israel, there were still people like Anna and like Simeon and John the Baptist and Zechariah and Elizabeth and Mary who had a clear picture of who it was that had come to redeem the people of God. And just like them way back then, we can be encouraged because there are millions who are still living with that same expectation. They understand the hope of who Jesus is. And just like Anna and Simeon and John the Baptist and those way back in the first century, just like those had anticipated and expected this first coming of Jesus, we are anticipating his second advent. And if our focus is only on some sort of temporal deliverance from some kind of tyranny here and now, like the Pharisees had, or if our expectations are only that Jesus is going to give us a better life now, we're going to miss his second coming just like they did his first. That's why Christ must be our only true hope. And he can be our true hope only if we desire him and what he truly represents and who he truly is. He can only be that if we desire him more than anything else or anyone else on this planet. He is our true hope only if our affection for him is greater than any other thing. You know, that's kind of the key to holiness. The essence of living a holy life is that is us having a greater affection for Jesus than for sin. A greater affection for Jesus than any other good thing that we might have in our life. That's what a holy life looks like. That's what it takes to shape a holy life, is for our affection for him to be greater than anything else, and our expectation of his second advent to be greater than any other expectation that we have. And Anna and those like her teach us that the greatest expectation of Christmas is that our hope is in Jesus, that our hope is in Christ, his presence now with us, and his ultimate return. But it's not just that Anna can teach us of the purpose. She reminds us of the purpose of Christmas. She reminds us of what the true expectation of the coming of the Messiah is. She also shows us that there should be a result of Christmas. And what is that result that Anna that we see in Anna? What was the result in her of seeing her hope fulfilled? Well, verse 38 tells us that after she had seen the child, she continued to speak to everyone about him. She became a witness to all that she had seen and heard. She's really one of the first two, along with Simeon. She's one of the first two evangelists in the story of Jesus coming to this earth. She spoke of him to those who needed hope. She'd spent so much time in the temple, not separated from those who came into worship, but intimately involved with them. She knew what their hopes and desires were. She knew what their pains were. She knew what their hurts were. She knew enough of what was going on in their lives to be aware of what their spiritual longings were. And because of her connection with others, God used her to tell them about the hope that had come in this child, this one who would come to bring redemption. There's an important lesson in there for us that as we celebrate this Christmas time, as we celebrate this time of the coming of Jesus, that as we enjoy all that we have that comes from knowing who Jesus is, that there are others, maybe those under our own roof, maybe those in our workplace, maybe those we encounter at school, who don't know the hope that He brings. They don't know Him. They haven't experienced this hope, this peace, and this joy, and this love. For some, and it's interesting that that you'll have, I've been seeing a lot of people who are celebrating Christmas. They're not even saying holidays. They're saying Christmas. But who this season has no spiritual significance for whatsoever. You know, it might be the neighbor who's caught up in their business and they don't, and they're so wrapped up in that the worries and the cares of that have begun to consume their life, and they've just missed what this whole season is about. And they're becoming more and more frantic, but inwardly they're just kind of empty. They don't have anything else to put their hope in. You know, in this season we've talked about the amount of loss that we've experienced in our community, not just our church family, but in our community as a whole. Maybe it's the widow who's lost her husband of so many years, who's just looking for some sort of silver lining. She's looking for some sort of hope. She's looking for some sort of peace and joy. Maybe it's a busy housewife who has lost heart. Maybe it's a child who, you know, the confusion of everything that's gone on in life over these last couple of years has consumed them, and they just don't know what to do. Whatever it is, we encounter people every day who need the hope, who need to see in our lives the result of what this coming of Christ means at Christmas time. And they need us to be, as Anna was, eyewitnesses, to be those who testify to this hope and show them what it means. They're all longing for something better. They just don't know what it is. They need Christ. They need someone to reach out and care for them. We'll never reach these people for Jesus. We'll never reach them if we don't connect with them the way that Anna connected with those in the temple. If we don't get to know them well enough to know what their spiritual longings are, to know what their deepest needs are, it's hard for us to take that hope and be eyewitnesses to what Christ has done in our lives. So how do we do that? I know that's a scary thing when we talk about this word evangelism, when we talk about reaching out, especially at a time where every kind of social interaction is kind of weird as it is. How do we do that? Well, I mean, the first thing we do is we just listen. I shared at the funeral I did here just a few days ago, that some of the best advice I've ever heard in times where we just don't know what to do, especially in times of loss, the best three things we can do all start with the letter H. We can hush. We can just be quiet. We don't need to feel the pressure to know all the answers right away. And then we can hear. We can just listen with patience and with love to the hurts and the longings that people have. And then we can hug. We can give them a shoulder to cry on. We can just be there for them. And then we can share with them the hope. Maybe that's the fourth H that we can give is that we can give them and share with them the hope that we have found in Jesus. But just listen with love. And then you can tell them about the hope that you have that's found only in Christ, the hope of His birth, the hope of His life, the hope of His cross, the hope of His resurrection. Christ came to give us abundant life now. He came to redeem. He came to restore. He came to resurrect. And He came to give us the hope that eternal life has as we place our hope and our trust in Him. And He came so that we as His children, might share that hope with others who need that same message of hope. He alone could redeem. As God, He alone could redeem. As man, He alone could die in our place and take our punishment. And if we really understand and we really get a grasp and learn and remember what Anna saw, what Simeon saw in the temple that day and what they had longed for and waited for, then we too will share that same hope. We too will share that same peace and joy that we found in this Christ and in that same love. And we will share the redemption that we have received as a result from what Christ means to us and what He has done in our lives. I'm very thankful that Jesus chose to reveal Himself to old men and sweet old grandmas like Anna and like Simeon. Actually, not in that order. Like Anna and Simeon. And that He's also chosen to reveal Himself to people like you and me. God could have used, He could have chosen any other avenue to reveal Himself. And yet He ultimately came in the form of a child who would live life just like us. And that He revealed Himself to ordinary people, people like Simeon, people like Anna, people like John the Baptist, people like the 12 disciples, people like you and me. And He did that so that we in turn could be instruments through which He would reveal Himself to those we come into contact with. You know, Anna's life, and just the three verses that we read about her, It challenges us on a lot of levels. You know, as we said, this was a woman who probably, she went through quite a bit in her life. She lived a life of loneliness probably for many, many years. She came from a tribe that had suffered much under exile to the Assyrians. And here she is all of these years later at 84 years old, still serving faithfully, fasting, praying, waiting with hope for the coming of the Messiah. And she's one of the two who are singled out in Scripture as those who are able to experience that, and one of two who God revealed Himself to in that moment, in the coming of Jesus into this world and what He meant. And as a result, she was blessed to become one of the first evangelists to tell the story and the hope of the coming of who Jesus was. You know, at her age, after all that she had been through, she could have just said, you know what? I've waited long enough. Time for somebody else to pick it up and to do it from here. But she didn't. She pressed on, and she was ready to respond when the time came. And my prayer is that as we exit this kind of Christmas season and launch into this new year, that we would be those who, like Simeon and Anna, would wait with hope, that people would see that in us. As people encounter us, as they encountered Anna in the temple, that we would be those that they seek out because we exude hope and peace and joy and love, and that as we remember the purpose that we celebrate of this coming of Christ, as we wait with expectation for His second coming, understanding that He has come to redeem not just a piece of land, not just a nation. He's come to redeem all of creation, to restore everything that had been broken, to resurrect everything that has been dead. As we wait with that hope, that we would too will move forward as Anna did, with the result being that we become eyewitnesses, that we become mouthpieces for the message of hope that He has come to bring. May that be said of us in 2022. May we be a people of purpose and expectation and results as we look forward with hope and peace and joy and love to the second advent and the second coming of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You once again for this story, for the hope that we have, for this example of Simeon and Anna, of these who so faithfully waited for the coming of Your Son. And may it also be said of us that we don't just experience that coming, but that the result of that would be living with a hopeful expectation as we tell those around us, as we bear the fruit and give a picture of what that faithful and hopeful waiting looks like. May people be able to get a clear picture of who your Son is in our lives. We want to start off this year, this 2022, forward-looking. We want to be used of you in this year to be instruments of hope and peace to the world around us. And as we begin this year, as we start next week, this new series looking at who it is that you have called us to be as a church, and maybe some of the dangers that may creep in, things that may get in the way of us being who you have called us to be. May you soften us. May you give us a clear vision and open hearts to hear what it is that you would have to say to us. May we get a clear picture. May you give us clarity of our calling as the people of God. And may you give us clarity as you put your finger maybe on a couple of those things that are getting in the way or dangers that may stand in the way of us being who it is that you have called us to be. And as we remember these faithful examples of Simeon and Anna, may we move towards you with that same hope and that same faith, understanding and knowing who it is that we celebrate in this season, who it is that you sent to this earth in the form of a child, the Redeemer, the Restorer of Israel, and not just Israel, but the entire creation. And may you move in our hearts and make us to be clear reflections of who that is. We love you. We pray that you would be with us the rest of this week, this first week of 2022, that you would be with us the rest of this day, that you would keep us all safe, that you would bless the time that we have with our families today, and that we would just press into you in this new year. We love you, Lord. We pray all these things in the name of your Son. Amen.